Good morning. Today's Daf in Yuma Samaches. We are finishing up today the sixth parak of the Masechta, and Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to begin the seventh parak, the second number of today's Daf. Let us start with the Mishnah. We're in the Mishnah on Samach Zayin Amud Beis. We are finishing up with the Avodas Yom HaKippurim as it relates to the Big Day Lavan by the Kohen Gadol. Essentially, the main Avodas that are done. But over here now in the sixth parak, we're wrapping it up. We are sending the Sir Mishaleach off to the Sukkah, off to the edge of the cliff, which is about a 12-kilometer walk from the Azara. We went in yesterday and detailed exactly how that trek is going to go, how the quest is going to go. It's not going to go well for the goat, but we went through many of the details regarding the actual mechanics of how that works. Also, the Sir LaZazel. It's a strange term. Yesterday's daf, we also tried to give the Gemara gave a pshat in terms of what exactly is meant with that kind of terminology. What is meant by that term? Okay, now we are now back in the Beit HaMikdash, and we're going to take a look back at the Kohen Gadol again. And Rashi, right in the beginning, says Chazar. I know I haven't read a word of the Mishnah yet, but Rashi writes Chazar lo atanel sidra harishon. So we're back to the Azor, and we're back to describing Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Okay, and now, with that stated, so we return back to the Azar, we take a look at the Kohen Gadol. Let's start with the Mishnah. So, Balo Eitzel Parvis Seir Hanis Rafim. So now he's approaching the Par and the Seir. No longer the Dam. The Dam has already been sprinkled, and the Mitzvah of Kapara has been done with the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Seir. And all that is left now is just the carcasses of these animals. Now, these animals are carbon chatas, both the Par and the Seir. But these are not typical carbon chatuses. Typical carbon chatuses are going to be eaten by the Kohanim. That is a standard carbon chatus. However, these are what's called chatus apnimios. There are a number of chatus apnimios. Two of them we've been describing in our Masechta, the par in the Seir Yom Kippur. There's also the par Kohen Gadol, and there is the par Helm Davar. So, but right now we're just focusing on the par in the Seir of Yom Kippur. So being that there are chatos apnimios, that means to say that the blood is sprinkled in the heichal. So what happens to these animals? These animals are not going to be eaten, but rather, the animals are going to be burnt. Where are they going to be burnt? Outside of the Beis HaMikdash. In a moment, we're going to learn together outside of Yerushalayim. So now basically what we're doing is we're preparing these animals to be burnt outside. But the first thing that we have to do is that we have to take out the imurim, various internal organs and fats of the animal that are burnt on the Mizbeach. So despite the fact that the Kohanim are not going to eat them, but still the Mizbeach is going to get what it typically gets, and that's the Imurim of the Karbanos. Mishnah describes, Balo Eitzel Parsir and Israel from Karan. So what the Kohen now is going to do is he's going to tear them open, right, both animals. Vahotzias Imurim, remove the Imurim Nasam Bemegis. Now he's going to put them in a bowl. Vihik Tiren Agabim Mizbeach, and he's going to be makter them on the Mizbeach. The Gemara is going to just spend a little bit of time in just a moment working on the language of the Mishnah over here. It sounds like he's doing so immediately. He's not going to be doing so immediately. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Kalan b'miklaus. Now, what we're going to do is that we're going to prepare these animals to be shipped out. Now, shipping over here is that we're going to have people carrying them. They're going to be carrying them on poles, and the animals are going to be tied together. Perhaps not the best way to describe it. They're going to be literally woven together, right? That's the kliya. So the animals are going to be woven together and put on top of poles so they could be carried out. In other words, the remainder of the carcass. Votzil on the basis straight for removed to the area in which they're going to be, which they're going to be burnt. Meaning once taken outside of Yerushalayim, these animals are going to be burnt in their entirety. Ome'emesai mitam and begadim. Now, once again, the Torah over here introduces that. The Sarif, the one who burns these carbon chatos, are going to become tame. And now the only question is not what, meaning we know they're going to become tame, but when? When are they going to become tame? So Mishiyatsu Chutz Chamas Azara. So this is subject to a debate. The Torah just simply says that the Sarif is going to become tame. The Torah doesn't say when. So Tana Kama says Mitzmiyitzia, from the moment they leave the Chamas Azara, the walls of the Azara. How do they arrive at that conclusion? The Gemara is going to be discussing that later today. Rabbi Shimon Amar Mishiyatsis or Beruban. And Rabbi Shimon's of the position that no, that Tumah will only be introduced with the Sarif once Sreifa is actually done. Once fire catches to the majority of the animals, then the Sarif is going to become Tameh. The Gemara, a good part of today's daf, is going to be the Gemara trying to explain the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. In the meantime, however, now that we have gone through the preparation of the par and the seer, the carcasses of the par and the seer, vis-a-vis the imurim removal and preparing them to be taken out in order to burn them, so the Gemara immediately has a comment. Vihikti ran sagadatcha. Now, what it sounds like over here is that the Kohen is going to be burning the imurim effective immediately. That's the Mishnah. Vihikti ran. Now, that cannot be. Now, why can that not be? So take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi has a little bit of issue with the Girsa, but I'm going to skip in the Rashi and I'm going to look now at the first very wide line of Rashi. V'chi achshav hu maktiran. He can't be maktir right now, says Rashi. Second line now of Rashi. V'halo adena lavush bigdei lavan. He's still wearing his bigdei lavan right now. V'adayna lav l'kros haparsha bebegadim halalu. Just a little bit from now, later today, the beginning of the seventh parak, so we're going to learn together how the Kohen Gadol now has got to read Parsha, and he's got to read them in his Big Day Lavan. Afterwards, he's then going to Tovel in the Mikvah, put on the Big Day Zahav, in order to offer his aisle and the aisle of the people. Then he's going to do another tefillah, put on the Big Day Lavan again, just for one simple purpose, to remove Kafa Machta, the spoon and the shovel from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he's going to tovel again, and now he's going to offer the Musafim. V'yidbol shlishis l'musafim v'yimur echatzis halal v'tam shol ben arabayim. Okay, good. So, and it's only at that point in time where the Imurim are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So, Rashi just simply pans through the remaining Avodah. We know that the burning of the Imurim are going to be taking place at a later point in the day. So when the Mishnah says that he pulls the Imurim out, vihiktiram, and he's going to now burn the Imurim, so as the Gemara points out, Rashi explains, it's premature. We're not ready for that yet. So the Gemara just makes a small little edit in the Mishnah. Vihiktiram sakadat chaleima lehaktiran agamim mizbeach. Good. So we're going to now change the prefix and turn it from a vav to a lamed, and that works out a lot better. Because he's removing the Imurim so that he can burn them. Not that he will burn them. In other words, burning is actually going to take place at a later point in time. Kalam ben Miklaus, now what he's going to do is he's going to weave the animals together. So Am Rabbi Yochanan kemin klia. Okay, so it's pretty clear from the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yochanan makes it even clearer. And that is that the animals are actually going to be woven together. It sounds like at this point in time, the animals are still going to be in one piece. Later this morning, we're going to be discussing how the animals are going to be cut up. Now, we know carbonola that's burnt entirely on the Mizbeach not only is cut up, but flayed and cut up and put up on top of the Mizbeach to be burnt. These chatos apnimus, which are going to be burned outside, so we're going to learn later on, I'll give it away right now, they're not going to be flayed, yet they are going to be cut up. But at this point in time, at least for shipment, it sounds like the animals are still totally intact. Tanim learned in the Brisa lo ayu menatcha nituch basar ola ela or al gabe basar. Okay, now here the Gemara discusses it, meaning that when these animals are going to be cut up in order to be burnt, so the skin is still going to be on the flesh. They keep the hide on. So menachani mila. Now, how do I know that? And basically, now we're going to go through a series of drashas comparing, contrasting a carbon ola which is burnt in its entirety and the chatas panimios which are also burnt in its entirety. But there are going to be subtle distinctions. Notably, the hide's going to remain on for these chatos apnimios. For the ola, the hide's not going to be left on. In fact, of the ola, the hide is removed and the hide is given to the kohanim. Meaning, one of the manos kahuna is that of a carbon ola. So whichever kohen is doing the avoda with that particular carbon ola, so he's going to be receiving the hide. The hide is totally his. He can do with it whatever he wants. And now, in contradistinction, when it comes to the chatos apnimios, it's going to be burned in its entirety, including the hide. How do I know that? The Gemara quotes a drasha. D'tanya Rabbi Amar Ne'emar kan or basar u'peres v'ne'emar la'alan or basar peres. So the Gemara says, well, when given instruction in terms of how to burn the par and the seer of Yom Kippur, so it says that we're going to burn it, the hide, the basar and the peres. And it says also regarding the chatzas panim, as mentioned in the beginning of Vayikra in Perek Dalet, that's the par kohen gadol and the par helm davishot tzibor. So they're also going to be burned or ubasu peres. So So basically, now what we have is that we have a let's call it a binyanav, right? I may be imprecise, but let's call it a binyanav. Whatever we see over there is going to be true over here, over here as well. There, chatas panimas, where there the Torah says it's going to be burnt, where the limbs are cut up, but the hide is kept on the animal, and the hide is going to be burnt with the rest of the animal. So, to over here by par in seer of Yom Kippur, same thing. So the house of Minala. Now, how do I know? How do I know that the by the par kohen gadol and the par helm davish al tzibor that they are in fact burnt with the hide on the carcasses? The tanya will enter the brisa. The karvu parsu vehotzi. I'm sorry. The kirbo parsho vehotzi melamit shomotzia shalem. So in terms of how they're going to be removed, they're going to be removed in total, right? Like I described earlier. Meaning when they actually are taken out of the Azara, so it's at that point in time that they're not going to be cut up at all. Again, an incision is made in order to remove the Imorim, but that's it. The remaining animal remains whole. Yachul Yisrif HaNeshalem. Now how about burning it while it's whole? So Nemar Kan Rosho Uchra'av, and Nemar Lahalan Rosho Uchra'av. Man Lahalan Ayidei Nituch, Av Kan Ayidei Nituch. Well, no, because the Torah gives a description very similar to the description of a standard Ola. Standard Ola is cut up in pieces. So too, the par kohen gadol and par helam davar are also going to be cut up in pieces. Ima lahalan yidei hefshet, afkana yidei hefshet. Well, standard Ola, we know that we flay the animal prior to cutting it up. So too over here. So tamalam revikir bo peres u parsho. So no, that's not going to be the case. Why? Because the Torah says that when you burn the par helam davar and the par kohen gadol, so you're going to be burning it kirbo. Its innards and per show, and even the excrement. Now, my Talmud, how does that tell me that you don't flay it? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So just like we're going to be leaving the excrement inside and we're going to be burning the animal with the excrement inside, so too we're not going to be removing the hide as well. Meaning nothing gets removed from the animal. The animal, despite the fact that it is going to be cut up into pieces, at the same time, however, nothing will be removed. And so therefore, the proper procedure of how to burn the par, both of the Kohen Gadol and par Helm Dovah Shel Tzibor, is going to be by removing it, cutting it in pieces, but not flaying it. Now that we've established that for par Helm Dovah Shel Tzibor and the par Kohen Gadol, we're now going to translate that over to the par in the seer of Yom Kippur. Okay, so I know it's a lot of drashos, but basically, if you've been following, we've set the precedent of what is the proper procedure of how to burn the chatas panimias that I mentioned in Perek Dalet. And now, once we've established that, so now we're going to take that very same procedure and apply it now to the chatas panimias of Yom Kippur, of Paran and Seir. Okay, last topic of our Mishnah. I know we're not far into today's daf, but still. Last topic within our Mishnah, and that is, when does the sorif become tame? Right, the pasuk says very clearly, "Hasoreif osam yichabes begadav." The one who burns the part of the seir, so he's going to require kibbutz begadim, literally laundering of the clothing. But as we have already discussed numerous times, it means that he's going to become tame. Such a degree of tame that not only is he going to be tame, but the clothing that he's wearing is going to be tame as well. To which the gemara wants to know, minalan, where is this coming from? That's not what the gemara wants to know. What the gemara wants to know is, when is he going to become tame? So if you recall in the Mishnah, machlok is between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Chachamim says that he's tame the moment that he exits the Azara, which sounds strange, by the way, because he's still far away from actually burning the remains of these animals. And meanwhile, Rabbi Shimon says no, when he actually burns it, right? Rabbi Shimon seems to be a little bit more in line with the simple pshat of the psukim. Let's see the Gemara. You remove it michutz machane and you burn it. Lahalan ata nosin lahem shalosh machanos. V'kan ata nosin lahem machane achas. So the Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused because in terms of where it's going to be taken, so we know that's going to be taken outside of Gimel Machanos. Okay, just a quick recap. I know we know this. Gimel Machanos, each one of the Machanos refers to a certain perimeter. The first Machanah is Machanah Shechina, in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a reference to the Azara. Second Machanah is the Machanah Levia, in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the area of the Har Habayis, which circumscribes the Azara by a lot. And then the third Machanah is Machanah Yisrael, so that's a reference to the walls of Yerushalayim. Where is now these animals going to be removed? Outside of Gimel Machanos, meaning it's going to be taken outside the walls of Yerushalayim and burnt in a designated area outside of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused because by the part in the Seer of Yom Kippur, so the Pasuk says, Yotzi el mechutz ha-machaneh. You take it out of the machaneh. What do you mean you take it out of the machaneh? You take it way out of the machaneh. You're taking it out of Gimel Machanos. So im kein lama nemar mechutz ha-machaneh, lama l'chal kevin shiatz ha-chutz ha-machaneh. Achas metamim bebegadim. Good. So over here, the Braisa brings down that clearly the Torah is not talking about where, because we've already established where. Now, where do we establish that? So we haven't done it yet. But the Gemara right now, this Braisa knows the where. The where is outside Gimel Machanos. So if we already know the where, and the Torah says take it out of one machana, that can't be a description of the where, because we know where. So what is it a description of? When. When is a person taking it out going to become tame? Once he exits one machane, which in the Beis HaMikdash means the Azara, that's when he's going to become tame. Okay, so we have a drasha. So the Gemara says, V'hasam inalan. So the Gemara says, now, where do we establish that the proper place of burning, the Chatzah Sepinim is going to be outside Gemara Machanos? The Tanya. So over here, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Rashi, second time today, Rashi really struggles with the girsas that we have in our Gemara. Either way, it's going to come out to be the same point. The Tanya will enter the Braisa of Otzias Kol Apar Chutz Gimel Machanos. Good, and removing the par outside of Gimel Machanos. Ata Omer Chutz Gimel Machanos Ein Ala Chutz Machanachas. Well, how do you know? Maybe it's only one Machanah. Kishu Omer Bepar Eida. Now, once again, we're gonna do the same thing that we did earlier this morning. Meaning, whatever is established by Par Ha'eda, which again is a Chatzos HaPnimios, so we're going to take that and we're going to just simply translate it over here, apply it over here. Now, what do we know about the Par Ha'eda? So, El Michutz HaMachaneh, so by the Par Ha'eda, the Torah says that you're going to take it out of Chutz HaMachaneh, Shein Tam Allah Mar Sharei Kvar Namar V'Saraf Oso, Ka'asher Saraf is Par HaRishon. So, when the Torah says by the Par Ha'eda that you're removing it out of Gimel Machanos, I'm sorry, when the Torah says by the Par Ha'eda that you're moving out of one Machaneh, already it's been established previously that you're already doing so. The Torah says back in Perek Dalet, the Visarafos o Kasher Sarafis Par Rishon. So Ma Tamalomer El Michutz Machaneh. So what then are we establishing when we say that's El Michutz Machaneh? Li Tein Lo Machaneh Shnia. That means that you're going to be taken out of the second Machaneh. So far now, by just simply compounding the number of times that it says that you're removing, so we've already established that it does so twice, so that now is going to be two machanas. We're only one machana shy of where we want to get to. Now by the mitzvah of otzas adeshen, the Torah says that you're taking it out michutz machana she'ein tam alamar sherei kvar namar el shefach adeshen. So tainlo, meaning the Torah already says that when you're burning the chatos panimios, you're taking them shefach adeshen. The same place that you remove the ashes, not the Truma Sadeshen. Truma Sadeshen is not removed from the Azara. Like we've said many times, the Truma Sadeshen is going to be taken off the Mizbeach every morning, first the vote of the day, and deposited just on the east side of the Kevesh. But it remains in the Azara. Hotzah Sadeshen, the removal of the ashes, so that's taken outside. Now, where is it taken? Well, the Torah says that you're going to be taking it to the same place where I'm doing the burning. Meaning that basically we've now looked at this one location. Two things are happening in this one location. One is that the removal of the ashes are placed over here. Two, all the chatos apnimis are burned over there. By virtue of the fact that by the Hotzah Sedeshen, the Torah says chutz, that's now our third chutz, which is unnecessary. So when we have a third chutz, what are we going to do with it? So machane shlishi. So what it's going to do now is going to give us a third exit. And so that means to say that you have to exit all three machanos. Okay. So we have a drasha by the carbon Eida that has to be removed out of three machanos. That's a chatzos panimis. And again, like we did earlier, we're going to apply that now to the par in this year of Yom Kippur. Okay. So, quick summary. What comes out now is that when the Torah says that you're removing the part of this year in order to be burnt, so just like all other chatos panimios, you're going to be removing it chutz l'gemal machanos. If so, when the Torah says by the burning of the par, v'asarefas amichabes begadav, so when does it become tameh? So according to the Tanakh of our Mishnah, as we just got done explaining in our Gemara, it's based on the fact that the Torah says v'hotzi michutz l'machane, and we already know that can't be a description of where, because where has already been established, so therefore must be a description of when. When does he become tameh? When he leaves one machane. So oddly enough, even though he still has got a ways to go before he gets to burning the chatos apanimios, nevertheless, tumah comes about once you leave one machane, once you leave the azara. V'Rabbi Shimon hai mechutz machane mayavilei. Now, Rabbi Shimon obviously does not regard any of these drushas we just learned. Can't. Because Rabbi Shimon says that tumah comes about only when he actually burns the par and the seer, not on his way out. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, mibayle lechedetanya. So good. So all the psukim that we had and all the available drashas are there to teach us different points. Notably, the Gemara quotes a brayso, Rabbi Lazar Omer, nemar kam michutz machanim and nemar lahalan. Michutz machanim, akan chutz legimo machanos, af lahalan chutz legimo machanos. So first of all, how do we establish the where according to Rabbi Shimon? We go to a totally different source. What different source do we go to? This week's Parsha. Parsha's Chukas. So the para is going to be burnt chutz legimo machanos in total. So so just like the para aduma is burnt chutz legimo machanos, so too are the chatzos apanim is going to be burnt chutz legimo machanos. Oman lahalam b'mizrach yishulayim afkam b'mizrach yishulayim. Now chutz just simply means outside. Which direction? So just like the para aduma is going to be on the east side facing the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, so too, the burning of the chatzos panimios are going to be done on the east side as well. Good. So this is where Rabbi Shimon gets his drashas of Gimel Machanos. So, v'rabbanan hechasarf lehu. Now, according to the Chachamim, where are the chatzos panimios going to get burned? Meaning we go back to the Chachamim. Now, the Chachamim do not have this limud from Parah Adumah. So in the absence of a limud from Parah Adumah, so we know that you have to be outside Gimel Machanos, but where? North, south, east, west, or doesn't even matter? So the Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, Ki Ditanya. We have a brisa that tells us in which direction. Heichan Nisrafin. So where the Chatzos Panim is going to get burnt, as we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Let's Fona Shol Yushalayim. North of Yushalayim. V'chutz Gimel Machanos. So according to the Tanakhama, this brisa, we're going to head northbound. So, and we're still going to go outside Gimel Machanos. We're burning the carcasses, but we're going to head north. Now, why are we going to head north? It's actually very simple. Meaning, in the absence of having a drasha, remember, the Chachamim do not connect the burning of the parents here to that of the paraduma. Paraduma for sure is done in the east, but without a connection, so now it's an open playing field, so I could go in any direction. So I head north according to the Tanakhama. Why would I go north? So it's really simple. Rashi over here says on the top of the Amud, Rashi writes in front of Yerushalayim, Shekol Maaseh Chatos B'Tzafon. Yeah, because it's a carbon chatos. So what do we know about the nature of a carbon chatos? So in the Azara, so we're going to be shechting in the north. That's what you have to do with all kachet kachim. And the chatos is a Kodesh Kadashim. Good. So now when you burn it, and the Torah doesn't give us a direction of where to go, meaning we know we have to go outside Gimel Machanos, but outside that we don't know where, so good, so head north. So the Rabbi Yossi Omer, back to the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Abbeis HaDeshen Nisrafen. So Rabbi Yossi says that it is going to be burned Abbeis HaDeshen. Meaning, remember, Hotzas HaDeshen, the removal of the ashes, Rashi says, we've done this before, Rashi says that's done only when needed, as needed. The mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen is done every single day. The mitzvah of Hotzas HaDeshen, when the pile of ashes accumulated on top of the Mizbeach to the point where you no longer can navigate around the Mizbeach, you no longer can burn other Kabbarnas on the Mizbech, so then it's going to be removed. Fine. Hotzas HaDeshen. Now, where is it taken out? So it's taken outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, outside of Gimel Machanos. So according to Rabbi Yossi, so you're going to be burning the par and the seer on top of the ashes, Abbeis HaDeshen Nisrafin. Wherever the ashes were deposited outside of Yerushalayim, so that's where you're going to be burning the par and the seer. Amar Rava, Mantana de Palagalad, Rabbi Yossi. So Rava just simply comments over here. Who disagrees with Rav Yossi? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who detanya. I think it's Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov for the following reason. We have another brisa. El Shefa Chadeshin Yisrof Shehei L'Shem Deshin. So according to the Tanna Kamma, where am I burning my parn this year? On the ashes that were removed from the Mizbeach. It's almost like, by the way, just I'm not saying this is the reason why, but it gives basically a wonderful visualization, meaning that we're typically speaking by Karban Ola, it's burnt on the Mizbeach. Typically speaking by Chatas, it's not burnt. It's consumed by the Kohanim. But here, by Chatas Apanimios, it's not burnt on the Mizbeach, and it's not eaten by the Kohanim. So where am I going to burn it? Well, that's what we've been discussing now for the last 10, 15 minutes. But the idea over here is, for those who subscribe that you're putting it on the ashes, it's almost like you're creating a, right, it's just a good way to think about it. It's like you're creating like a quasi Mizbech outside. Now you're not, obviously. You can't make a Mizbech outside, but by resting it on top of the ashes, it's almost like it's a familiar area, if you will. Okay, anyway. So according to the Tanna Kamma, it's Shehei L'Shem Deshen. Okay, in other words, it has to be on the ashes. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Shehei Mekomo Meshupach, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, it has to be an inclined place, meaning when it says Shefach, it means incline. So what Rava believes now is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is totally dismissing the position of the Tanna Kamma, meaning it does not have to be on ashes, but rather the area has to be inclined. That's what we learned out from the word Shefach Hadeshen. And so Rava just simply comments that Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov are not in agreement. The Gemara says, Amar Leah Abaye, Abaye says, no, not necessarily. No. As Rashi explains over here, maybe both the Tanna Kamma and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov both agree that it should be on ashes. It's just a question of whether or not it should be on a tilt or shouldn't be on a tilt. Okay, that could be it. Tan Rabbanan. We're almost done with this section. Hasoreif. So when the Torah says that the one who burns it is going to be tameh, it has to be the one who does the act of burning. The mesader amaracha. Sorry, let me go in order. Metzis is a or, the one who actually starts the fire. Okay, in other words, obviously that is necessary. It's a hechsher. It facilitates, but he's not the one who burns the part of the seer. And Misada Samaracha, and let's say you put the wood together. Yeah, right? You prepare the fire pit. Once again, that's wonderful, and it's necessary, but again, that's not burning. So, Ve'e Zehu, Hastarev Zeh Messiah, B'Shas Reifa. So the one who actually puts the animal on the fire, so that's the one who burns. Yachlaf Mishinasu Efer Metam and Begadim. Okay. Now let's say burnt already to the point now where it's reduced to ashes. And then somebody comes along now and I know it's going to sound funny, but burn the ashes. So Tamalamar Osam, Osam Matam and Begadim, Vallah Mishinasu Efer Matam and Begadim. So, no, once it's reduced to ashes, that's it. The mitzvah has been accomplished. Anyone now who plays with those ashes, you know, tries to light them some more, burn them some more. So it's not going to be Tamim Begadim. Tumas Begadim only comes about when you're burning the animals prior to them being reduced to ash. Post-reduction to ash, so then you're not going to be tummy. Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, meaning, just to be clear, right, once you're tummy. And you have to go to the mikvah and you need a hair of shemesh. What I mean by that is somebody else comes along and starts fiddling with the ashes, he's not going to become tummy. Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, apar mitamei, nita chabasar, eno mitamei begadim. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is basically communicating the same idea, but he says it a little bit differently. He says nita chabasar. So once there's no longer any flesh anymore. So basically now it is bone dry. So it's at that point in time. So anyone who comes along and burns it is not going to be metame begadim. May benayu kebenayu deshavi charucha. So over here the difference is as follows: if let's say you burnt the part in the seer where now it's not reduced to ash, you just simply removed all the flesh and it's now bone dry, literally. So it's at that point in time where, according to the Tanna Kamma, anyone who is involved in the sreifa is still going to become tame. The din tuma only comes to an end only after it's reduced to ash. Now, obviously, when we're talking about bone, so it'll take a while, but that's the position of Tanakama. Where meanwhile, according to the sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, no, I'm sorry. According to the sheet of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, no. Once it becomes bone dry, it's at that point in time that there's no longer a din tuma and any subsequent strafa. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first sugya of today. Almost concluding with the sixth parak, we just have one more Mishnah and a line of Gemara to go. But meanwhile, a really technical beginning of today's daf, in which the Gemara goes over all the makaros of when does the sarif become tame, and when is there no longer going to be a din of tuma on the burning of the part in the seer. Okay, let's continue. We are with the Mishnah Amru Lo LeKohen Gadol Higia Seir LeMidbar. Okay, the Kohen Gadol now is going to be informed. In other words, for him to be able to continue with any other avoda, so the Seir HaMashalech has to make it out into the desert. Now, how is he going to know? So I'd say a text message. But it's just slightly anachronistic. And on top of that, it's also Yontif. Okay, so, and remember in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah? So you want to communicate to people for people long distances. So what you can do is you can make a fire. Oh, okay, good. So you're already right. That's going to be our solution over here. Now, lighting fires can be done for the pronouncement of today being Rosh Chodesh, right? Can it be done for this kind of announcement? I don't know. I don't have to think too hard because the Mishnah is not going to have the lighting of the fires. The Mishnah over here is going to be have the waving of the flags. Okay. So, and mind you, by the way, for the pronouncement of Rosh Chodesh, so we want to send the message cross-country, right? We want to send it from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So over there, the lighting of fires from one mountaintop to another mountaintop, you're covering miles and miles of terrain. Over here, it's not that far. It's not that short, but we're talking about, well, now I was going to say it's going to be 12 mil. It's going to be even less than 12 mil. You'll see why in just a moment. So Amru Lo LeKohen Gadol Higia Seir LeMidbar. So because the Kohen Gadol cannot do another avoda until this year's made out to the Midbar, so he needs information. So Uminayin HaYoyodin, great. How do we get that information? So Shehigia Seir LeMidbar. So Dir Kaos HaYoyosin Uminifin B'Sudran. Okay, so they would be having people stand and basically at a distance from one another, and they would communicate by the waving of the flag. LeMidbar, and it's at that point in time that we know that the goat got to the midbar. So Amar of Yudav Alo Simon Gadol Hayalam Yushalem Vaad Beis Chidudo Shlosha Milin. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what you need is only to get from Yushalem to Beis Chidudo, which is a total of 3 mil. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not necessary for the seer to get all the way to the end, but rather he just simply needs to get to the midbar. How do we know that he got to the midbar? Well, it's only 3 miles out, meaning the total trek is going to be 12 mil. But meanwhile, once you get to three mil out, so you're already in the desert. So that's all you need to know. So holchim mil v'chozim mil v'shon kidei mil v'yodin shigi asir l'midbar. Okay, so all you need now is one person to accompany the person walking 1 mil. Now that's it. Now he can go back. So in doing so, now he's walked 2 mil. Now you now know that the elapsed time that has gone is 2 mil. Now what he can do is that he'll wait 1 more mil. Now I'm saying that, but I know that's not precise. He's not going to wait another mil. So rather what he's going to do is he's just going to simply walk 1 more mil. And it's at that point in time now that he knows that 3 mil has passed. And good. And now the Kohen Gadol can move on to the next section of the Avoda. I got a simple question. In other words, we know how much time it takes for a person to walk a mil. Roughly. Anywhere between 18 minutes to 24 minutes. Right? Thereabouts. Right? So why are we having somebody... perfect. You got the answer. So why do we have somebody who's accompanying him on the way there, then is going to walk back, and then is also going to walk in? Well, in other words, why not just simply wait? So the answer must be that when we're talking about walking, there's walking, and then there's walking on Yom Kippur with an animal, right? On Yom Kippur, so you are, again, food-deprived, sleep-deprived, although this is not the Kohen Gadol. So we could just stop at food-deprived. But still, you're exhausted on Yom Kippur. And now you're walking out with a goat. So obviously your pace is going to be a different pace. On top of that, there's also a goat that that's in tow. So the pace is going to be a different pace. So over here, we can't go with the standard measurements of how to measure the walking of a male, which again is either 18 minutes, 22 and a half minutes, 24 minutes. So you don't have to do that over here. In other words, right? and snacking. So fine. So that's the point of the mission is that you're going to have somebody walking, basically parallel walking, not totally. He's only accompanying one male, and then he is in fact going to walk back. And this is where my pshat kind of falls apart, because on his walk back, he's unencumbered, right? He's not walking with the ishit, he's not walking with the goat, but still, the basic idea is that it's got to be not just measuring in time, but measuring by actually steps, by walking. Okay, good. Rabbi Shmuel Omer v'alo simon acher hayalehem. Lashon shel zoris hayakashor al pitzcho sheichol kishigi asir lemidbar hayaloshem albishin amrayim yuchatechem kashanim kasheleg yalbino. And Rabbi Shmuel says, why do I need all this? Meaning, do you know when the goat gets out to the desert? So the red wool is going to turn white. Okay. Now, it is a curiosity. All right. I'm sure you're with me on this. Right? We know that many years, it doesn't turn white. So on the years it doesn't turn white, simon doesn't work out so well. Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh. All right. The rest is going to get recorded. Okay. Anyway, good. So what comes out over here is the following. So we have now in the Mishnah, basically three different ways to be able to communicate to the Kohen Gadol that now the goat has made it out to the desert. So one is the waving of flags. Two is going to be somebody going to accompany him 1 mil, come back 1 mil, and then walk another mil. And because all we need him to do is get 3 mil out there into the desert. And that's considered now that the goat is actually in the desert. And the third position is, we'll just look at the red wool, which admittedly, it's really difficult. I'm even a little surprised. The Gemara isn't bothered by it. It seems to be a really straightforward question in terms of, it's not a good simon every single year. Okay, but anyway, good. So those are the three different ways in which we're going to try to communicate to the Kohen Gadol that he can move on to the next step of the Avoda. What is the next step of the Avoda? Well, stay tuned. That's coming up in the next parak. Amar Abaye, just finishing up over here with the sixth parak. Shema mina beis chidudo b'midbar kaima. So good. So number one, we said that we need him to get out to the beis chidudo. Now, admittedly, it's not a term that we've heard before. So it's the first time in the Masechta we've heard the term, but the beis chidudo was synonymous with midbar. And meaning that once the seer gets out to the midbar, good. Now we can move on to the next step. Now, granted, of course, shema mina, v'hakama shmalan. Okay. The Gemara is going to make the next point. And on top of that, Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that it's at what point in time now is the mitzvah completed? So once you get out to the midbar, the mitzvah is completed. Now, what do you mean the mitzvah is completed? Meaning, right? We've been discussing now for the last couple of days. Aren't we going to go further? Aren't we going to throw the goat off the cliff? So yeah, that's true. But we're talking about now essential avoda that will inhibit the Kohen from progressing in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Meaning, yes, there is more mitzvah to go with the Seir HaMishtaleach, right? In other words, and it's typically how we epitomize the Seir HaMishtaleach. He's going to be thrown off the cliff. But nevertheless, in terms of essential avoda, once you get out to the midbar, that's it. The essential avoda now has been done and completed, and it's at that point in time now where the Kohen Gadol can proceed with the Avodas Yom HaKippur. Hadron Lech Shnei Seirim, and that is the end of the sixth parak of the Masechta. And now we have the schus of starting the seventh parak. Balo Kohen Gadol Likros. Kohen Gadol now is going to be reading from the Torah. Right? The Gemara. Okay. Let me just continue with the Mishnah. Balo Kohen Gadol Likros. So the Kohen Gadol now is going to be reading from the Parshios. So im ratz likros bebig debut kare, v'im lav kare beitzal slavan mishalo. What clothing does he wear for the Kriyas Torah? So he actually has an option. He could remain in his white linen clothing, or he could change into his own personal clothing. Remember, the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur not only has the big day lavan and the big day zahav, but also he's got personal clothing as well. Okay, so we have a Kriyas HaTorah done in the Azara. Now, the Azara is not a shul. I know this sounds funny, but don't confuse the Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaKnesses. Now, I know that the Beis HaKnesses is the Mikdash Ma'at. We say that throughout. But nevertheless, he's not in shul right now. He's in the Azara. So where are we getting the Sefer Torah from? It's going to sound funny, but the answer is we're going to get it from a shul. So there is a shul proximate to the Azara, somewhere in the Har Habayis, and that's where we're going to get the Sefer Torah for the Kohen Gadol to read. And this is going to be very ceremonial. Understandably, it's Yom Kippur. It's the Kohen Gadol, right? One of the big differences throughout America in terms of a Hashkama Minyan and Main Minyan is going to be the removal of the Sefer Torah. Okay, I treated myself a number of times davening by the Sfaradim. So for them, the removal of the Sefer Torah, I know I have two of them here. So, I'm going to get fact checked. So but I go to when you daven by the Sfaradim, so for them, the removal of the Sefer Torah is a really big deal. Right? By Hashkama, it's just like, let's quickly get it out as quickly as possible. Make a beeline right to the Bima, right? Then the main minyanim throughout America, so it's done with a little more pomp and circumstance. And by the Sfaradim, it's a really big deal. So, I know. I understand. You've it's a real value. So so over here, so on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, so it's going to be done with pomp and circumstance. So Chazan HaKnesses, Notel Sefer Torah, V'Nosel L'Rosh HaKnesses. So now the Chazan over here, as we know, throughout Mishnayos is referring to the Gabbai. So he's going to be removing it and now giving it to the Rosh HaKnesses. Okay, so I'm not really sure what all these various jobs are, but basically they're, you know, middle management, if you will. And I don't mean that in any kind of derivative fashion. The Rosh HaKnesses knows no Skan. The Rosh HaKnesses now hands the Sefer Torah over to the Skan. V'Skan knows no Kohen Gadol. He then hands it to the Kohen Gadol. V'Kohen Gadol Omed Umekabel, and he receives it. Vikari, now he's going to be reading. The Kohen Gadol now is going to be laning on Yom Kippur. What is he going to be laning? So he's going to be laning a total of three parshios. What are the three parshios? Number one, he's laning the parsha of Achrei Mos. Good. Number two, he's going to be laning the parsha of Ach Be'asor. Both of them are found in Vayikra. Good. So the Achrei Mos is in Perek Tet Zayin. That's the 16th chapter. And Ach Basur, that's Parsha Semur. Okay, good. So right now he's hovering somewhere in the middle of the Sefer Torah, and now he's got to move to Parsha's Pinchas. Why? Because he's got to be reading about the Musafim as well. So over here, there's only one Sefer Torah. Right? When we have to read in various Parshios in the Torah on any given Shabbos or Yontiv, so we take out multiple Sefer Torah. So for whatever reason, only one Sefer Torah is taken out. And so now, what are we going to do? We're going to roll the Sefer Torah from Sefer Vayikra all the way to Bamidbar. So that's going to take a lot of time. So we're not going to do it. But rather, what we're going to do is Vigolo Sefer Torah, Omenicha Becheko. So they just simply roll the Sefer Torah up, and they put it in his lap. V'omer Yosef Mimashe Karas Lefnechem Kasuf Kan. And now I'm going to read the next Parsha, but I'm going to do so by heart. Uva Asor Shebechumash Abakurim. Now he's going to go to Parshas Pinchas. In Chumash HaPekudim, that's what we call Bamidbar, and Korei Al Pen is going to read it by heart. Okay. Yeah. So there are a lot of issues that require more clarification. I'll ask the questions. I'm just not fully prepared to give the answers. Number one, the reason why he's going to be closing the Sefer Torah reading it by heart is because of Tircha D'Tzibura. Just simply because, it's not respectful to the congregation to just simply be waiting around dead time, right? Moving fast, moving slow, right? If you haven't heard me say this before, right? Baseball's really slow. I don't think so. But in other words, what makes it slow if nothing's happening, right? If nothing's happening, so now it really gets slow. So same thing is true in shul, the lahavdil, obviously, but the same thing is true. Meaning, as long as things are happening, so then, okay, now we're moving. But once everything's at a stop, so like, what's going on over here? What's taking so long? Right? It's not, slow and fast is not a function. This is all me talking right now. You don't have to buy this. So slow and fast is not a function of time. It's a function of just, is something happening right now? So the idea that everyone's going to wait around while they're rolling the Sefer Torah, So that's it's a function of Tircha de Sibura. And that's why they just simply won't roll the Sefer Torah. To Ben's point, right? I saw it coming, but I don't have a great answer. In other words, the Gemara in Gittin tells us Dvarim shebichsav e rashai lomar balpeh. Right, you're not allowed to take Torah shebichsav and say it and recite it by heart. You're treating it like Torah shebalpeh. Right, Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh. Torah shebichsav. There's a reason why it's called Torah shebichsav. Right, it's written and you got to read it from the written word. And Torah shebalpeh, the oral tradition, what we're learning right now, you got to say it by heart. Well, every day we violate rule number two, right? We're reading the Gemara right now. Okay, that was a decision that was made a long time ago. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Eis la'asos la'ashem, eifers or asecha. But in terms of Torah shebichsav, are you allowed to read it by heart? So we have now run into a situation. There's one time a year where it's done. How is it allowed to be done? Okay. That's the part that's a little, right? I don't have a great answer, a full answer. Anyway, so fine. So now you're going to be reading, you're reading these parshios. So again, three parshios to read. Achremos, Emor, and Pinchas. Umevarech la'shmona brachos. And now coming together with that, they're going to be eight brachos. Now, the first bracha is the one that we're familiar with, Ala Torah. Rashi over here writes Ala Torah, bracha shal achareha, asher nasan lanu. So Rashi says that we're making the bracha acher kriyas haTorah. What about the bracha kodem kriyas haTorah? I don't know for Rashi. Meaning maybe it's assumed that he makes it. It doesn't seem that way because the Mishnah over here is very specific about eight brachas. Or maybe the number eight is just simply the number that's given after the kriya. I'm not sure. But meanwhile, Rashi certainly understands that the brachas haTorah over here is the bracha afterwards. And now they're going to be an additional seven brachas that are made. Now, all this sounds very unusual to us because, again, we haven't been without a Beis HaMikdash now. We've been without a Beis HaMikdash now for two millennia. And so, right, we have not experienced this in a very long time. So where else does this happen? The answer is never. But after the Birchas HaTorah, the Kohen Gadol now is going to be giving other brachas as well. And right now, we're just going to run through the Mishnah, the Gemara later, not today. The Gemara is going to go through all these brachas and explain all these brachas. And they are Allah Avodah, Allah Odah, Allah Mechilas Avon, Allah Mikdash, Bifnei Atzma, Allah Yisrael, Bifnei Atzman, Allah Yushalayim, Bifnei Atzma, Allah Kohanim, Bifnei Atzman, Ve'al Shara Tefillah. And later we're going to go through these brachas and explain exactly what these brachas are. But basically, you know, it's a Kohen Gadol, it's Yom Kippur. He's given out brachas, but they're formalized. And after the Kriyas HaTorah, so he's making these brachas. Now, if you want to be an observer, so you're going to have to choose. Either you're going to watch the Kohen Gadol read from the Sefer Torah, or you're going to be watching the burning of the pyre in the seer. But you can't do both. Not for a halachic reason, for a logistic reason. The reading of the parshiyos are done by the Kohen Gadol and the Azara. The burning of the par in this year are done chutzah gimel machnas, as we discussed in the beginning of today's shiur, today's daf. And so now you just simply can't be in two places at the same time. These events are running concurrently, and so therefore you got to choose either one or the other. Okay. Midiktani beitzus lavan. We'll just start with the Gemara. And quickly run through just the first couple of lines. So, when reading the Sefer Torah, so what can the Kohen wear? So he can elect. He can either wear the Bigdei Lavan, or he can wear Itztalis, his own clothing. So, Mishalom Mechlal Dekriya Lav Avodahi. Now, that clearly indicates that the Kriya Satorah is not an Avoda. Now, you remember, you don't have to remember this, but I paused at the beginning of the Mishnah. So Rashi in the beginning of the Mishnah, right? I thought I was going to read Rashi then, I'll read it now. Rashi in the beginning of the Mishnah, the reading of the Parsha is not Ma'akev. Minayin she'ein sha'af mikra Parsha, I'm sorry. The reading of the Parsha is Ma'akev, meaning it's an important part of the Avoda, yet it's not Avoda. How do I know it's not Avoda? Well, it's very simple, because we learned in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol can elect to wear his non-big day Kohen Gadol. So, v'ketani and rastel lekros be-big day botz kore. Okay, so now, we established that it's important. We also established that it's not an avoda. So now, the Gemara says, let's use this as a springboard to discuss. Now, the discussion starts here, It goes into tomorrow's daf, but let's start the discussion. And that Shema Minah, Big Day Kahuna, Nitnu Lehanos Behen. So the Gemara says, okay, so I think over here, what do we see? That if the reading of the Sefer Torah is not Navoda, and evident by the fact that the Kohen Gadol does not have to wear his Big Day Lavan to wear it. At the same time, however, the Mishnah says if he wants to keep his Big Day Lavan on, he may do so. So that means that the Kohen can do now non-Avoda activities while wearing his Big Day Kahuna. Here's what we all could have said. You could have said, Big Day Kahuna are only could be worn for Avoda. Cannot be worn for any other purpose. And wearing it for any other purpose would be a violation of Me'ilah. You could have said that. But meanwhile, what it seems like from our Mishnah is by virtue of the fact that we've established that the reading of the Sefer Torah is not an Avoda, and we've also established that the Kohen Gadol can wear his Big Day Kahuna while wearing a Sefer Torah, it sounds like the Kohen Gadol can do recreational activities while wearing his Big Day Kahuna. Okay, good. So you're good. So fine, perfect. So what the Gemara is going to push back on is, I'm not sure if reading the Sefer Torah is considered recreational activity. Okay, that's good, perfect. Okay, and we'll stop here, and this will bring us well into tomorrow's daf in terms of this discussion of doing non-avod activities while wearing the Big Day Kahuna. Okay, so let's quickly recap. Okay, the beginning of today's daf, we are getting the part of this year after all the hazals were done, and now we're just simply wrapping it up. So the part of this year are going to be burned chutz l'gimel machano. So the Mishnah describes that you remove the imurim because they're going to be burnt on the mizbeach, and now we're basically going to be packing up the part of this year and shipping them out chutz l'gimel machano. They're going to be put on poles. The animals are going to be interwoven one into the other, and they're going to be taken out of Gimel Machanos. The Kohen involved in the burning of them is going to become Tameh. When does he become Tameh? Major machlokus in our Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama says that once he exits the Azar, he's already going to become Tameh. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, no, you're going to become Tameh when you actually do the burning itself. In the Gemara today, we discussed the sourcing for all these halachas. How do I know that the part and the seer are going to be taken out of? I'm sorry. When burnt, the hide is going to be remained. The animal's not going to be flayed. Unlike a carbonola, where a carbonola is burnt on the mizbech, but you flay the animal prior to doing so. When it comes to the chatos of panimios, the animal's not going to be flayed. It will be cut up into pieces before burning, but it will not be flayed. And how do I know that? The Gemara had drashas. The Gemara also had a number of drashas that talked about, number one, it has to be removed out of Gimel Machanos before it gets burnt. The drasha for the Tanakhama that the Sarif is going to become Tameh the moment that he exits the first Azara. Rabbi Shimon, how does he handle all those drashas? So all that took us through the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis, we wrapped up on the drashas. When burning the par in the seer of Yom Kippur and doing so on the Gimel outside of the Gimel Machanos, so you're laying it on top of ashes. The Gemara may be subject to a machlokus, but the simple pshat is that it's laid on top of the ashes. What ashes? The ashes that you've been removing from the outer mizbeach, the hotzah sadeshen, and those ashes are taken in, outside of Gimel Machanos, and that's where we're going to be burning the part of the seer of Yom Kippur. Or chatos apnimios, for that matter. The Mishnah talks about how the Kohen Gadol cannot proceed with the next avoda, which is, we just learned in the first Mishnah of the seventh parak, is the Kriyas HaTorah, until the goat has arrived out in the desert. So how is he going to find out? So either the waving of flags, or somebody's going to accompany the person walking, or the red wool turning white. Okay, various opinions in the Mishnah in terms of how he's going to know. We don't need the goat to get all the way out to the edge of the cliff for the Kohen to proceed. We just need the goat to get out to the Midbar. Okay, and the Midbar, we learned in the Mishnah, also goes by the name of Chidudo. Okay, the seventh parak. We started the seventh parak this morning, and we talked about the Kohen Gadol now moving on to the next step of the Avodah, and that's going to be the Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is going to be done by the Kohen Gadol, either by him wearing his Big Day Lavan or wearing his own personal clothing, the Itztalis. He's going to be reading three Parshias in the Torah, Achremos, Emor, and then Pinchas. Achremos and Emor is going to be reading inside. Then he'll close the Sefer Torah and he'll read the Parsha Pinchas by heart. And the Mishnah describes how he's going to be making brachas afterwards. 8 brachas in total. We just ran through the brachas. We didn't really give pshat. We'll do so later. And there are 2 events that are occurring concurrently. You got to choose which one you want to go to. Either the burning of the par and the seer, or Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, and the discussion that we're going to be starting tomorrow is, can the Kohen do non-Kohen Gadol activity while non-Kohen activity while wearing the Begadim? Adkan.